Pleased today to be able to talk with Dr. David Wilcox. He's the Vice President, Medical Officer at Sanford Health of Northern Minnesota. I know you're very busy, so I appreciate the time today. Thank you.
Thank you, Kevin. It's great to be with you. I appreciate you having us.
Well, Dave, it's been a wild ride. There's no question about that. It doesn't seem to be slowing down any. We've got a lot of things to talk about, but let's just start with where we're at as of this Friday, October 30th, in Sanford Health of Northern Minnesota and Beltrami County when it comes to COVID-19.
Well, we've clearly had a significant increase in the spread of COVID-19. Initially, I thought it was part of what I call mixing. When people get together, go to the cabin, visit family, have celebrations, that mixing of people is an opportunity for COVID to spread. Someone comes to that gathering with what they thought was a cold or an allergy or just their usual headache, but indeed they had COVID. But because it's people they trust, they didn't mask, they didn't keep their distance, they, you know, maybe felt like their family members wouldn't be the one they'd get COVID from. But indeed, they obtained COVID, it came in and spread. So after the 4th of July, we had a peak, and within 6 or 7 weeks, that peak settled down and we went back to a very limited. But after Labor Day, we hit a peak and we're now 7 to 8 weeks out and that peak is still climbing. So we can no longer blame a mixing event like a holiday as the cause of troubles. So I think this is propagating in our community now, just person to person. Mixing events like Halloween, upcoming Thanksgiving and Christmas are opportunities for this virus to take a hold again amongst families and friends. And that's really the way this spreads. So just caution for everyone as these holidays come up.
Well, it's a very difficult thing. We had a lockdown that was very controversial. It was tough for a lot of people. We were able to get out and kind of start to get back to normal. And now we're seeing these numbers, and this has got people scared again. Give us a realistic appraisal of what could happen here in the coming months.
Well, clearly the worry early on with COVID was the peak, and you heard the term flatten the curve. Mm-hmm. So that worry continues to exist. We did flatten the curve some. But at any point, if we don't continue our precautions for spreading this disease, we could have a surge that overwhelms our healthcare system. And that occurred early on in the New York area. We've had the benefit of time and preparation in the Midwest, but as it's hitting us now, there's still a chance that COVID could come out of control and overwhelm our system.
Well, and speaking of that, we're having probably the most dramatic spike we have seen, obviously. There's a lot of rumors out there about Sanford getting overflow, running out of space. What is the truth with that?
The truth of the matter is we have not been overflowed and we are not running out of space. So just to put the kibosh on that rumor, that's important. We certainly have created space. We went through extensive surge planning. We have beds in our hospital that are rooms that were not beds in the hospital before. We've repurposed some old hospital beds, rooms that we were using for office space. And so we have increased our bed capacity, and we have bed planning to increase our capacity further should we need to. But our appeal is to avoid unnecessary hospital stays and not force us to move into these second and third level planning stages for beds.
So define that for us. What do we mean by unnecessary hospital stays?
So unnecessary hospital stays, meaning ending up in the hospital when you really shouldn't have had to. And there's really two ways to do that. If you don't get COVID disease, you won't get sick enough to end up in the hospital. So make sure you do all the protective measures, wearing that mask, not necessarily for your sake, but for the sake of those around you. I have a feeling that the public still thinks that the mask is about not giving COVID to themselves or getting COVID. But that mask is really about you being a person who could spread COVID because you may not be very good with your personal choices and have it and develop relatively few symptoms but still able to spread COVID. So that's the first thing. Don't give up on all those measures. Keep your distance. And probably even more important, keep your distance with your get-togethers, your family members, these upcoming events. Consider wearing masks if you're having family members from out of town come to your house for a holiday. So that's one way to avoid unnecessary hospitalizations is just do your protective measures and don't get COVID. The second way is to maintain good control of your chronic health conditions. We've had people be fearful to come to the clinic or the hospital because we have patients with COVID. And those patients are all isolated, and we do very extensive cleaning, preparations, masking, all the things that we do to prevent this from spreading. But because of that fear, people are not coming in to manage their chronic health conditions like heart failure, heart attacks, diabetes, chronic lung disease. And so they end up getting out of control, and the patients end up in the hospital when it could have been managed in the clinic. So it's very important to maintain your problems. Right now, we would be seeing volumes above normal just managing chronic disease.
Okay. Right, volumes above normal with chronic disease, and then possibly people not being careful adding to it with COVID, and it could get out of control. But right now, things seem stable for you guys?
Yes, they're very stable. And just to get an idea of proportion for our listeners, we've had 87 people hospitalized with COVID in the last 4 months. Our normal volumes during those 4 months would have been about 2,000 patients. So COVID is a very small part of what's going on in the hospital right now when you think about it. So we're still managing a lot of other diseases. And it's really that external pressure from chronic disease management that's adding to the difficulty with hospital capacities. And again, we have measures. We have relationships with our regional hospitals. We've traded patients back and forth with our sister hospital in Fargo. But it's been more about what's their disease and what's their health conditions and what's the best place for the patient to be more than it is about COVID and being full.
Okay. I think, one of the things Larissa pointed out to me is we do talk about numbers a lot, and I think people are kind of obsessed with numbers, but those numbers are actually people, and that's our real concern is people who are affected by COVID-19. I just saw some Facebook posts from some good friends that are in the hospital right now because of it. So, those numbers are actual people.
That's exactly right. And the way COVID spreads, that tends to be your friends, family, and loved ones. And there's lots of ways this disease plays out, but that's really the most common is somebody doesn't think they were sick with something and they decide to show up at an event of some kind, and then it spreads from there. And, of course, our biggest numbers for COVID are in young people. The highest demographics are the 20 and 30-year-olds. And granted, they don't tend to be so sick with the illness, and it's a generation when I remember being pretty bulletproof myself. but unfortunately, that comes home to mom and dad who might be 50 or 60 years of age, or to grandma and grandpa who might be 80 or 90 years of age with chronic conditions. And that age group, the 60s and up, is where the hospitalizations are, and that's where the deaths are.
And I think the other thing that, people focus on is how many people are dying from it. And there's been a lot of people who have died from it, not necessarily in our area, but if you look at the national number. But there are people who are now suffering some permanent damage due to COVID-19, even if they are not a fatality.
That's correct. And the other thing is sometimes this viral illness is the trigger that sets a chronic illness off. And they may be in the hospital with COVID, but their reserves are compromised. And a few weeks later, they're discharged from COVID, but come back in a very compromised condition to go on and die of their heart failure or their chronic lung disease or their chronic liver or disease or something similar. So any bad illness takes a toll on someone who has chronic disease.
Of course, it's school time. We have schools open. Some schools are distance only. Some are doing hybrid. Some are have everybody in place. But what I've noticed is, and I've watched that pretty carefully, is that has not seemed to be a big super spreader type event. Even those kids who are taking part in activities, school seems safe. Am I seeing that wrong, or is that correct?
No, I think we should be very proud of District 31 in particular. They have done an excellent job of managing their classrooms, managing their student flow, masking, distance, sanitizing, cleaning. And to date, we have not seen spread within the school systems. Certainly, children have showed up at school with COVID and been sent home. We've had employees at Sanford Health become sick with COVID and have to go home. But like us, the school system isn't seeing spread amongst the employees and amongst the staff and the students. So it's the nature of this disease that people will get sick, generally connecting it somewhere out in the community more than in their workplace or at school.
But of course, they've done, I think, a tremendous job of making sure everybody's doing what they have to do, masking up, social distancing, and still getting that very key education and socialization piece in there. One thing I've noticed is my grandson, who's 8 years old, he remembers his mask way more than I do. And I try to remember, but sometimes I forget. He's pretty good at it. And I think a lot of kids seem to have made a good adjustment with this.
Well, and as we've talked with the school systems, it's important when we talk about mixing that the students are really in a controlled environment. They're mixing with a smaller variety of people when they're in school than they would be if they were out on their own or in the community or going from daycare to daycare or making those options. So if you think about it, having those children doing the right thing in a controlled environment for 8 hours a day could be considered an element of protection, even though I know it's difficult for people to see it that way.
Okay. What continues to be the greatest bit of misinformation out there when you're dealing with people who have questions?
I think that the difficult part is that if I've been exposed to COVID, I need to hurry up and get tested, and that my negative test is my free pass to do whatever I want to do. So there is a time to test for COVID. If you test too soon, your test will be negative and you may still be sick and you could still spread the virus. So typically wait till around day 7, but the CDC recommends quarantine for 14 days from exposure, no matter what your test is. Okay. Second largest consideration is that the mask is about me. I'm not worried that I'll get COVID, so I don't need to wear a mask. And you need to go beyond yourself and recognize that the mask is about everyone else, that you are protecting your friends, family, loved ones, coworkers, the person at the grocery store, because you have your mask on, just in case you're the one that has a low symptom disease.
That continues to be the big social media argument. I can't believe it all these months later. It's like Groundhog Day for a pandemic, that same argument over and over and over. Do you have any studies you can point to that could maybe alleviate some of these arguments people have?
That's a pretty hard quote. There's a great YouTube about how well masks work, and it's called COVID-19 versus a surgical mask. So if anybody wants to cruise COVID-19 versus a surgical mask and watch a humorous thing, but essentially that mask, the picture is a guy squirting ether towards a butane flame through a surgical mask, and he got up to 3 inches away before anything ignited.
So I saw that one.
Possibly a squirt of ether from an engine starting device, but it's a pretty dramatic video.
I have seen that. That is pretty effective, yes.
I heard a quote on the radio, actually, that said something like this. I am amazed how strongly people will hold to a comforting view that they like, even when it's not true. And mm-hmm. so the concept that COVID-19 is a hoax, the fact that you can't get COVID-19 very easily, or that people don't get very sick with COVID-19, that really needs to be corrected. And granted, if you're young and healthy, about 80 to 90% of people do not end up in the hospital. But COVID-19 is a preventable disease, and we can prevent this tragedy if people are willing to do the simplest thing for someone else, which is to wear a mask, wash your hands, keep your 6-foot distance as much as you can, everywhere you can, and even with your family if it's new family members that you're not living with all the time.
I don't know if you get any more information than we do as far as progress on vaccines and treatments. What's the latest there that you've heard?
Well, the latest is that we're optimistic that vaccines will work because coronavirus as a whole tends to do well with vaccines. We're optimistic that the speed and production of a safe vaccine will be far better than it ever has been. They've allowed us to run simultaneous trials, which means phase 1, phase 2, phase 3 together and in a safe fashion, but that will get it out quickly. But the fact of the matter is I would challenge you to produce 7 billion of anything in a short period of time.
Yeah.
So when we're talking about vaccine for America, that's 300 million vaccines. The practical concern is this won't be out for general use for quite a while. By the time you make the invention, create the device, test it, and manufacture it. So if you're listening to the Dr. Fauci's of the world, they're optimistic for a vaccine, but probably anywhere from fall to winter next year before we can vaccinate a large number of people and get that herd immunity and preventive benefit.
This is obviously a stressful time for everybody, but I'm just wondering, how's everybody doing at Sanford? How's the workforce there? Are they? I know obviously people have gotten it, but are they stressed? Are they doing okay?
Well, I couldn't be more proud of our workforce at all levels. The amount of planning that's gone into place to make it possible. We've increased our hospital beds from 109 to 134. We had 6 or 7 negative pressure rooms. We now have 34. The work that went into that preparation has been phenomenal. For the people who've had to go home sick, their fellow coworkers have stepped up to the plate and taken some extra shifts. Like everyone, we're tired, but we're not exhausted. We find ways to refresh ourselves. Our staff have been very good about protecting themselves so that we aren't having an inordinate number of diseases, and we're hanging in there. But our ask is for everyone else to do the right thing so we don't have to take care of you in the hospital for any reason. So please come in, manage your chronic health conditions, take care of the things you need to take care of. Healthcare is an essential service, and it's as important as getting to the grocery store. So that would be the best help we could ask for our staff, is for everyone to do the right thing. Don't get COVID and take care of your regular conditions.
When we go back and we look at, I remember that, I think it was early March, early to mid-March, we were in Sanford Hospital and a lot of the media was there and we were just getting started with this. What is the biggest thing that has surprised you from that day, that as you were looking ahead and planning things, now as you look back, what's the biggest surprise about COVID or about the community from that day?
I think the biggest surprise is the amount of time it took for COVID to get to our community. Excuse me. So I do think some of the measures that were taken, the mask mandate that the city was willing to put forward even before the governor came up with it. So I thought that was a good move. I've been sitting on the edge of my seat. I thought it was here and planning to peak around July. We did some early estimates on cases and when it would be, and we did pick you know, August, end of August, mid-September as our peak. So we're not far off from that. We've redone those models, and from the Sanford standpoint and predictions, and we take into account things more similar to Sanford, you know, our spread out population and those kind of things. A lot of the models from the East and West Coast are thinking about metropolitan areas where people live much closer. But I think the speed with which people can get sick has impressed us. I think we've learned a lot about treatment, that patients are not ending up on ventilators as much as we had predicted early on. And then now I think the surprise is that we're now into community spread and we will trundle along. Our models are looking like through November and into December, we will probably continue at about our current rate of hospitalization. We have about 20 people in the hospital right now. 4 of them are in ICU. You know, as a career-changing event, I've never had 20 people in the hospital with the same disease that's an infection. So that's, you know, career-changing for those of us in healthcare. So it is a real disease. The other thing that's been a big surprise is that comment about believing something that's not true. You know, believing that this is not a big deal. Believing that it's going to be over quickly. Those are the kind of things that surprise me, the level of denial that some people can still have in spite of the evidence that this is amongst us now.
Okay. Any final thoughts before we wrap it up today?
No. Thank you for visiting with us and letting us bring our message. Our message is that we're not overwhelmed at Sanford, but please do not overwhelm us. Do the right thing. Wear your mask, wash your hands, keep your distance, and take care of your chronic health conditions.
Dr. Dave Wilcox is the Vice President and Medical Officer at Sanford Health of Northern Minnesota. Great conversation today. Dr. Wilcox, thank you so much for your time, and let's hope that people follow your advice and we get through this sooner than later.
I'm with you on that. Thanks a lot, Kev.